listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Wednesday, July 8th. It is your boy, Marsh. As always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how are we, man? I just chugged a Monster Energy drink just to get me a little loosey-goosey, get me a little hyped up. Hey, how are you?
Doing good, man. I got a cold Mountain Dew here with me. You know, it's the beverage is flowing and, having a good time here. It's been hot the last
talk
days,
about these energy drinks like they're alcoholic or like it's flowing and things like that. And when really we're talking about soda and Monster Energy drinks, I love it.
You know, we're making do with what we can, right?
Exactly. Damn Utah. But no, things are good. Had a great episode last time with D-Money. I'm starting to get back into the swing of things as social media goes. But honestly, and I'm going to say this, later in the episode, I love talking recruiting, but, man, I am ready for actual football to start.
Yeah, man. I think we are in the doldrums of the worst part of the news cycle for college football, you know? I mean, the only thing going right now is, recruiting rumors, not even actual recruiting.
Exactly, man. I can't handle it anymore. But we are less than a month away from the start of spring ball – or fall practice. I was talking to Gabby Root yesterday, and – we were saying, August 7th, that's still the plan for fall practice. But I don't know, man. I'm getting a little nervous. But I don't know what to think.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm very nervous, too. Honestly, I'm just trying not to think about it. I've been trying to, I don't know. You can probably tell from my tweets, everyone out there. But, I've been trying to keep my mind not solely focused on football right now, because I do not need that kind of letdown if they cancel the season, So I'm trying to get back into the NBA right now. I got a lot of projects going. I'm a big history nerd, so I'm always reading stupid stuff about that. And just trying not to be too fixated on the Canes right now, because if the season gets canceled, man, that'll be bad.
See, that's where you have an advantage over me. Everything that I do is centered around the Canes. Even the book that I'm writing is about the Hurricanes. And so, I try to escape, but it just suffocates me.
Yeah.
And so, I have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And then once I go down to South Florida in a few weeks, it's going to be even amplified. And so, and I love the Hurricanes with all my heart, but when they're your life 24/7, I'm starting to rewatch Curb Your Enthusiasm, so my inner Larry David is starting to come out once again, and I'm becoming more of an asshole, just like he is. And so, but last week we interviewed D-Money, and we said that we were going to do a mini mailbag, but due to some technical difficulties, and before I go on, I just want to say thank you, Jordan, for freaking cutting that up. I know how hard that was. It was an amazing interview. I've gotten a lot of feedback saying how great the interview was, but we did have a lot of technical difficulties. So thank you for doing that, brother.
Of course, man. I was tempted to leave some of those the breaks that would happen, and we'd just quote old school and be the immature and overgrown teenage boys that we still are. I was tempted to leave some of that in, but I decided better safe than sorry, right?
Hey, you know what? That teenage boy inside me will never, ever leave.
Same, bro.
all these people say, oh, we have to grow up and do things like that. And hell no. What do you know? That's the charm in me, is that I still have that, the humor of a 14-year-old.
Yeah. Nothing grinds my gears worse than when people, they're like, really? You're still making dick jokes? It's like, dude, I will never stop.
They're hilarious to me. I laughed even when you said it.
Yep. I hope the very last words that I speak on this earth are just, a crude joke that makes people's hair curl, you know.
And I'll be sitting by the your bedside, being the only one laughing with you.
Yep, I hope so, man.
Okay, well, we got tons and tons of freaking mailbag questions to get to, so fire them up, Jordan.
Okay, so we're gonna start with we started to answer one from Ethan last week, and we decided that the answer would be a little intricate. So let's start off with it just for the sake of time. So the question is, how different do you guys think Miami would be if it was a public school? Do we have more money for bigger name coaches? You know, I think he's just trying to get it. What's the overall impact if we have that public money?
Okay. Well, like I said last week, I mean, that's a question that I think that I honestly don't know the good answers to. And so I'm going to let you get that one first.
Well, yeah, I'm with you there in that, like, any answer that I would give is mostly conjecture, you know, because I don't really understand how that stuff all works perfectly, you know. So I don't know. I definitely think that you could point to the Randy Shannon era, when funding to the football program was not as big as it is now, and you know, Shannon was he had a very tiny budget for assistant coaches. Our facilities fell behind, stuff like that. I think that era you can point to, and you know, that might have led to kind of the downfall of our dynasty is stuff like that. So I think there's an argument to be made there, that we probably don't fall off for 20 years like we have if we're a public school and we have more funding. Also, I think admission costs is another issue that we have. Is, you know, there's no such thing as in-state tuition for the University of Miami. You know, so I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm no expert when it comes to the education system. But that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting. I feel like we would not have been pinching pennies and hiring the Mark Whipples of the world, you know. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm getting at here, Mark?
No, totally, totally. I mean, if you look at these bigger schools like the University of Florida, University of Alabama, like, they have a lot more boosters, and the University of Miami is a very, very small school. Like, people don't realize that it's a small school, and outside of their football program, like, I don't know how many of our boosters are that concerned with our football program, especially when we're losing. That's another big thing. But it's hard to dive into your boosters when you really don't have that many besides like former NFL players, you know, things like that. And so I just think the amount of resources are not as many at the University of Miami compared to bigger public schools. And so, and also like the admissions thing. I mean, like, who the hell wants to spend $60,000 a year to go to school? I sure as hell don't.
Yeah. You know, I thought long and hard about pursuing, speaking of dick jokes, I thought long and hard about you know, pursuing architecture at University of Miami, and ultimately, you know, architecture / entrepreneurship, you know, I was looking at both, but dude, ultimately, like, I didn't want to go into debt like that, and you know, to like, to people that do, like, it's everyone, you know, it's to each their own, right? I'm not trying to criticize that choice. But that's not what I wanted in life. You know, that's why I went to Utah State and paid. I mean, I got FAFSA. I was paying like $800 a semester for tuition, man. You know, it's, yeah. I mean, I know it's not UM, but $800, that's pretty good.
It does. It does. And so, yeah, I mean, I honestly don't have like that much to say about the question just because I don't have a lot of knowledge of the situation. So
yeah, I feel you. All right. I like this one. We're going to double dip on Ethan right now, just cause I wanted to talk about the Mahomes deal. What are you guys' thoughts on the Mahomes deal? Do you believe this is going to have a vast impact on the Chiefs roster as far as not being able to retain key players because of the cap situation?
I mean, yeah, what's he getting paid? Like $530 million?
503, yeah.
Holy crap.
Dude, with 477 guaranteed. Can you believe that?
I mean, how are you going to, you know, shell out that kind of money and then still expect to retain a guy like Tyreek Hill, who's, you know, top three, top five receivers in the NFL? But the thing is, at least the Chiefs are looking at it like, well, I mean, you know, we'd rather have a guy like Pat Mahomes than a guy like Tyreek Hill, because Pat Mahomes is just going to make your wide receivers better. And so, and I'm not saying that they're not going to retain Tyreek Hill, but I think the Chiefs are looking at it as like, you know, you can bring in any receiver that you want and Mahomes is still going to throw for 40, 50 touchdowns a year. And so absolutely, I think there's going to be, several players that aren't going to be able to get that kind of money that they think that they deserve. And so I just think that kind of big of a deal is,
yeah,
not ridiculous, but it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. So my brother and I were talking about this last night. So let's look at the quarterbacks who've been to the Super Bowl in the last 5 years, the starting quarterbacks. Okay. So, obviously Wentz was hurt, but we're going to call it Wentz just because he was the starter for the Eagles. So we got Mahomes, Garoppolo, Brady. We have Wentz. We have Peyton Manning, Cam Newton, and Russell Wilson, and then Matt Ryan. So if you look at that list, Matt Ryan is the only one of those guys that was making top dollar when he made the Super Bowl. All the other guys were on rookie deals or on like the old guy Tom Brady deal where it's $25 million guaranteed straight. And Peyton Manning was on that deal too. Jared Goff made a Super Bowl as well on a rookie deal. And so what I'm getting at here is there's a lot of data to show that like quarterbacks that are making, you know, top dollar, they're getting paid that $35 million a year or whatever, they're not making the Super Bowl. You know, like Jimmy Garoppolo made it this last year, but he's only making 27. You know, I mean, think about that $8 million gap between Garoppolo and like Kirk Cousins. Like that pays for a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways that you can look at it. But at the end of the day, I think it's pretty obvious that the Chiefs are going to have to make some decisions concerning other players. Like, I mean, Kelsey's getting a little bit older. I think he's 30, but Tyreek Hill, I believe he's like 26.
Yep.
Something like that. Like, and you know, I don't know. Like, you obviously have to realize that the Chiefs thought it out very, you know, thought about it in depth and say, well, you know, if some of these guys, because like, I don't know, the contract situations and the salary cap issues is a very in-depth conversation. But I'm still just blown away by Mahomes' contract.
Yeah, I mean, it is incredible. And Mahomes, I mean, to me, being a 26-year-old, I've never seen a guy with Mahomes' talent ever. You know, like, people will point to, like, you know, a young Marino kind of had the same look. And I'm not saying that he's already the greatest ever or whatever. You know, he has like 20 years of success that he'll have to put up. But I'm just saying, like, pure talent. When you watch the guy play, there's nobody like him in the NFL.
No, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, he's just ridiculous, man. So I'm not necessarily criticizing the Chiefs. More so is saying that pretty much all these teams that are paying their quarterbacks 30-something million a year are shooting themselves in the foot. And are screwing themselves. You know, I remember when Jared Goff was up for extension, somebody on ESPN wrote an article, you know, saying that there's kind of a movement of some thinkers in the NFL, like front office people, that are saying that, you know, you should just rotate rookie quarterbacks. Like once they get to the end of their rookie deal and are up for a big time extension, you trade them for a high draft pick and just kind of ride out that wave of talented young guys. And honestly, man, I kind of think that's the best MO. You know, like if you're, if let's see, who's a young guy that's coming up on a big deal?
Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar. So say, you know, the Ravens, the reason why they've been really good is their defense is incredible. They have great running backs. Obviously, Lamar is, you know, most of that, right? But when it gets time for his extension, why not trade him for the number one pick? And, you know, you get a guy like Kyler Murray or something who's replacing a lot of that talent. But then you can keep the amazing defense. You can keep the good running backs and be contending again still. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's kind of my thoughts on the whole thing. I would definitely be trading guys like Jared Goff instead of paying them $35
million. Totally.
All right, let me get to the next question here. This is from Gunner. Hey, Marsh, what's your favorite candy?
Probably Twin Snakes by Haribo. Also a very big fan of Sour Patch Watermelon. Any kind of candy I will eat. So it's not a favorite candy. It's just what am I being presented with at the moment and how hungry I am.
Yeah. So those are actually if we're just talking gummy candy, which I'm not typically a gummy candy guy, those are my two favorites as well. I love the Sour Patch Watermelons and the Twin Snakes. But you know, I love have you ever had the candy bar Whatchamacallit?
Once or twice, yeah.
I really like those.
Not bad. Not bad. Very underrated.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. So moving on. Do you think Manny will have the same fate as Willie Taggart at FSU even after getting another offensive coordinator and making changes to his staff? What rep is he getting this year?
I don't think so. Just because I think Manny Diaz also has the benefit of having the coronavirus situation, and it's hard to – let's say that Miami – I don't think so, just because I think Manny Diaz has – I think Rhett Lashley is a much better offensive coordinator than Briles. I think that Miami also has a lot more talent on the offensive side of the ball than FSU did or had last year. You know, it's hard to, you know, win 10, 11 games if Alex Hornibrook is your quarterback, and he did it with Wisconsin, but he didn't. FSU certainly didn't have the Wisconsin offensive line or Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, and so I think Manny Diaz has a lot more better resources. Also, I think that with the addition of Coach Justice and Coach Likens, and also Coach Hickson at the running backs, I think that Manny has a lot better resources on the offensive side of the ball, and so no, and I don't think that unless you're Al Golden, you lose 58-0. I don't think that Miami is going to fire its head coach in the middle of the season. And I just think that Manny Diaz is better than Willie Taggart. I wasn't a fan of Willie Taggart when he was at Oregon, and the fact that he wasn't even that great at Oregon. Then he went to a big program like Florida State where you're expected to win 9-10 games. I just wasn't a fan of him, and I'm still not sold on Manny Diaz as a head coach yet, but no, I don't see him having that same fate.
I'm with you. I think you brought up coronavirus, and I think coronavirus gave Manny probably more of an out than he would have had, say this was a regular season. You know, because I mean, think about it. Like, we didn't have the spring camp. We're not having guys on campus right now. Well, I guess we actually might again, but you know what I'm saying? Like, all the preparation for the season has been completely interrupted. Mm-hmm. And so I think Manny will really have to crap the bed this season, you know, to get fired. And also, like, the vibe of the program right now is that we're trending up.
And then I was just about to say that look at all the good stuff that Manny Diaz has done. I mean, you see the GPA for the program is very, very high. And just the way that he handled the situation with the George Floyd thing and everything, I think that Manny is – he's a very popular guy at the moment. And so he was doing a lot of things that Willie – also Willie didn't have the opportunity to do some of these things. But, yeah, just the vibe of the program is very high right now. And unless we're sitting at like a 3-7 record, 4-6 record, it's going to be very hard to get a – and all the players love Manny. All the guys love Manny. And I've talked to several of the players, and they love – Coach Diaz. And so, no, I don't see him at all having the same fate as Willie did at FSU.
Yeah. I mean, I just 100% agree with you. It makes me think, like, you know, maybe we'll have a situation like we've spoken with LeVon and Bruce Johnson about, you know, they were both super bummed when Randy Shannon got fired, and kind of the idea like they let him down, you know, it wasn't his fault. So, I mean, maybe we see something like that, but you're right. I feel like Manny's kind of on fire right now, and, you know, he's kind of put his expert politician spin on this offseason and has us trending up even after coming off a terrible year. And, so I think we're in agreement there, my man. Let's see. Okay, this is from our man, is it Stefan Urkel?
Yep.
I think it's pronounced Stefan. I hope I get that right, brother.
He's our guy. I love Stefan.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's on our Zoom calls. I should know that. I just am spacing right now. Pass the ball to any receiver on the Canes with the game on the line. Who are you throwing to? And let's call this wide receiver rather than pass catcher, because I think we'd both say Brevin.
Yes.
But, yeah, let's go with wide receiver.
I am going to say probably Mike Harley, just because he's the veteran guy. He's been in those kind of situations. And, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Braxton Berrios. And when the game was on the line in 2017, you went to number 8. When it was 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, you got the ball to Braxton Berrios and say. And so I think – and Mike Harley has pretty sure hands, and so – and nothing against D. Wiggins. But, yeah, I think you just give it to the veteran in that situation and let him make something out of it. So my vote is Mike Harley.
Yeah, you know, typically I'd go with – man, we need to disagree at some point. typically I'd go with Mike Harley. As, you know, he's my favorite receiver going into this year, but you know, for all the reasons you said, I'd probably go with Harley. But how bad does this question make you miss KJ Osborne on the team?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because if you asked me this last year, I'd say KJ Osborne before you could even get the question off.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, Harley and Osborne, they're just reliable guys. And I'm not saying that the other guys aren't reliable, but I think a lot of people would say Harley in this situation, and I think that speaks a lot. So, you know, hopefully D. Wiggins turns into that guy that we can count on. You know, if it's 24-20, we're leading and we need a first down and it's 3rd and 7, I you know, slant to Harley, quick out to Harley, and I think you get that first down. So,
hey, did you know that Mark Pope was a 5-star recruit?
Did you? Okay. Okay, that's cool. So was Kyle Wright.
Right?
So was Lorenzo Lingard.
Yeah, right. Wait, who? I've never heard of that guy.
That guy was.
So here's a question from Quest89. If King gets hurt, will our team be able to survive off of Lashley's scheme? Also, why doesn't anyone talk about the depth at tight end? So let's hit both of these things.
Okay. First, I'm going to answer the second one.
Okay.
How dare you ask that question? Because I have said many times over and over about the guy, my guy, Will Mallory, and no one wants to hear his name. But then you ask this question and you freaking act like I haven't answered this before. I have said over and over about my guy, Will Mallory. I'm a huge fan of Larry Hodges. So don't ask this question when I have given the answer. Time and time again, we have depth at tight end. No one wants to hear the name Will Mallory. But yes, we have incredible talent or depth at tight end, but no one wants to talk about Will Mallory because he dropped a pass in week 1. Yeah. Okay. We have depth at tight end.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you. I'm a big Larry Hodges fan. So, you know, and obviously the ceiling is there with Will Mallory. You know, maybe with no fans at the game, maybe he'll be able to catch a few more balls. Just kidding. We what just need point? Can we play our home games on Green Tree and then Will Mallory yes. an All-American?
Yep. Green Tree legend right there.
Right. No, I really like Mallory. You know, I'm not out on him at all. I was very frustrated with him, but it did not – I wasn't selling off my Will Mallory stock. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. I'm not out on
him as a player. You're going to be rich this year.
Yeah, I just was grinding my teeth every time I'd hear his name last season. But yeah, no, I think we got a ton of depth. I big Larry Hodges fan, big Will Mallory fan. Ryan Roberts, is that his name? Our draft buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was saying that he thinks that Will Mallory might even have more pro potential, and I can see that.
We've been saying, like, Mike McCoy and I have been saying that since, like, last March. I think potentially Will Mallory could have a higher pro ceiling than Brevin does. I just love the way that Will's put together. I love his after the catch speed and what he's able to do with the football. I mean, if idiots just put on the tape of Will Mallory at the end of last year, they're able to see a guy who can get it done. And so, but to the first question, I really, really like that question. Yeah. You know, if King goes down, will we be able to survive? I think we'll be able to survive, not in the showcase that we would with King as our quarterback, but I think if you put N'Kozie Perry back there, like if King goes down week five, let's just say, uh-huh. I think Cozy can get it done. I'm not so sure that we can do the things that we're projecting that we're predicting that we'll be able to do. Sorry, I can't even talk today. I'm just so fired up. But I think N'Kozie will be able to. I think N'Kozie can get you to 8 or 9 wins. Yeah. But King is the guy that can get you to 10 or 11 wins, even with the scheme. And so, you know, does that make sense?
It does make sense. Dude, and I – oh, my gosh. If King goes down, like, not even talking about how horrible that'd be, you know, because he has so much potential and, you know, a potential NFL career, not even talking about the serious stuff. Dude, I would lose my mind because we'd get back to the whole, like – Cozy Hive versus Tate Train and all that nonsense that, I mean, geez, dude, it feels like people arguing politics when we're talking about the quarterback stuff, man. It just drives me insane. And I'm a Tate Martell stan, so you know that I'd be on the Tate Train. Whether it's rational or not, I would be. And, dude, it would just, oh my gosh. I'd want to drink bleach if that happens, just because I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could watch our team just flounder without a solid quarterback option, and me just be like, "Yep, I'm enjoying myself right now."
Yeah. I'm a big fan of both guys. I love Cozy and I love Tate Martell, and so. Yeah. But the way that the people argue against these guys, it's like, ugh. It's yeah. It's like they forget that they're just 19, 20-year-old kids. Like, that's the biggest thing to me. But, yeah, it to go back to the question, I think we can survive with N'Kozie Perry at our quarterback if King goes down, just not to the level of efficiency with a guy like King.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I'm not trying to talk any crap on Cozy. I think the reason why I – skew towards coming off as a hater towards Cozy, which I promise I'm not. I like him. He's just fine. It seems like I appreciate the fact that he's worked on his off the field stuff. You know, I kind of viewed him as a leader in the locker room last year, which is, you know, a complete 180 from his previous years at Miami. And you know, I just feel like I know our ceiling with Cozy as quarterback, and I just want more out of this team than that. You know,
it's a good point.
Maybe I'm wrong, but like I feel, like you said, I feel like our ceiling with Cozy is like 9 wins when all is said and done. That's even if we win a bowl game. You know, I think we're in that 8 to 9 win range. And it's like, you know, I would be that Larry David gif, you know. If we win eight games next season, I'll just be like, yeah, like it could be
but
worse.
Here's the thing. How much more confident would it make you if Nkosi took over midseason, played well? How much more confidence would that give you going into 2021 with Nkosi as a quarterback?
How well would he play? You know, like quantify that for me, I guess. What's his record as a starter? Say he plays 5 games. Are we talking 4-1?
That is a question that I think only the gods can answer. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that Nkosi, I think Nkosi could get the job done. I think we could go like.
Oh, there you are. Hey, so you cut out when I asked you that question of are we talking 4-1 or 3-2?
You know, I'm saying that we.
You see what I'm saying, though?
It's, yeah.
It's like, I don't think we'd go 4-1. I think we'd probably go 3-2 with Cozy. And if that happens, then it's same old, same old.
Yeah.
and that's nothing against Cozy. He's just fine. But since when have the Canes been like excited about just fine?
Every year since 2006.
Well, I haven't been excited about it. I cry myself to sleep every offseason.
Yeah, that's just the you know, facts of reality.
Well, if we would have hired Butch Davis, Marsh.
If Butch Davis never left here. Yeah. I don't know. I think Cozy could go. I think he could go 4-1. I'm gonna say it with a Rhett Lashley offense, I think he could go 4-1.
Okay, so if we go 4-1, my ears will perk up a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, and a lot of that depends on how he plays. You know what I mean? Like if he's throwing for 430 yards, and his touchdown to interception ratio is good, and he looks good. You know what I mean? Like he looks good enough that we're like, oh, he's on the preseason. Second team all ACC all American going into the Alabama game.
Yeah.
Then we're talking. But if it's just like a very meh, you know, it's like he comes in and Cam Harris is carrying the load on offense and you know, Cozy is playing like just fine, you know what I mean? Just like a very vanilla passing performance from him every game and we go 4-1. I don't know, man. It's the style points will matter. I just feel like I know what we got with Cozy, and you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just not what I wanted. I'd take Stephen Morris over Cozy. I really would.
But the thing is, I think, and I always bring up this argument. Let's just wait and see how he looks in a Rhett Lashley offense, because that's the kind of offense that we recruited him. You know, that's what he was playing at in high school. And so I just want to see what he looks like in this type of offense, because I think it's going to be a completely different Nkosi than what we're used to seeing.
Well, I hope so, man. I mean, I think everyone will be happy if that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. This one is from the state of Miami. Which wide receiver is the best NFL prospect?
Oh, I think it's D. Wiggins, just because of the combination of speed and length. The dude, I think last year he had the four. He was the fastest player on the team. They did some kind of test and he was the fastest player on the team. Match that with his size and length and able to go up and get the deep ball. I think it's D. Wiggins. You know, I like Mike Harley, but. You know, he has certain limitations with his size. Mark Pope, kind of the same. You know, he doesn't have the build that D. Wiggins does. You know, D. Wiggins, everyone knows how high of, on him I am, but I think when you put it all together, when NFL scouts are looking at it, I think that he has the complete package that NFL scouts are looking for. He just has to put it all together.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Out of guys that we have tape on, you know, guys that we've seen in a Miami Hurricanes uniform, I'm definitely going with D. Wiggins. Two dark horses that I would like to submit, though, is everyone is just absolutely falling over themselves giving compliments to Jeremiah Payton. You know, it sounds like he has the goods, kind of, you know, has all the tools, size, speed, hands, route running. So he, you know, maybe a few months from now we're saying it's him. And also my dark horse is Xavier Restrepo. Like, he just, I don't know, dude. There's just something about that kid where it's like, it's kind of the Braxton Berrios thing where it's like, I would never bet against him.
Yeah. Well, also another dark horse is Keyshawn Smith, kid out of San Diego. Yes. Dude has track-like speed. Again, has good size like D. Wiggins. And so he's another guy that NFL scouts look at and they're like, yes, like that's the kind of guy that, you know, NFL offenses today, a guy who has good size but also has the speed to keep up with a modern-day offense. So he's my dark horse. But as of right now, I'm saying D. Wiggins.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of forgot about him for a minute. You know, I'd see Restrepo kind of like a Julian Edelman type guy.
Yep.
But so if any of them were to become like an absolute freak, like a Randy Moss type of guy, like a, you know, completely unguardable, all pro wide receiver. If you told me that, you know, one of our receivers will do that, who is it? I'd probably guess Keyshawn Smith. Just for all the reasons you said, you know, he's like, I'm not saying he will do that, but I'm saying from what I've seen on his tape, like, he not only has all the tools, but he has some attitude too, you know?
I think people are sleeping on Michael Redding too. I think Michael Redding could be the best receiver out of the 2020 class. He's been injured, but dude is an absolute freak of nature. So if he gets healthy, like, watch out. College football needs to watch the hell out.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, man.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just got overcome with my regular Miami Hurricanes fan pessimism. You know,
it's in our blood.
I know, right? All right, man. Let's see. I think we're trying to find some that are relevant to our conversation here. Okay, this one's from New England Canes fan. I want to know what true freshman you guys think could end up being a breakout star this year, just stepping onto campus. We know a lot of those guys are going to play, but can Knighton or any of those boys become stars right out of the box?
I don't think any of them will be starters at the end of the day, at the end of 2020, just because I think our starter positions are already pretty filled. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jalen Rivers on the offensive line if he makes a push at guard. But other than that, I think Knighton is going to contribute a lot in the running back field, and I think he'll have a solid season. But as far as starters go,
yeah,
and a lot of people want to talk about the wide receivers, I don't think any of the true freshmen are going to be starting at any point during the season. But you never know. You never know what Xavier Restrepo can do. But yeah, I don't see any of them starting right away or at any point in this season.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the three names that came to mind was, the first one was Knighton. I can see him, I don't see him being like a superstar as a freshman, but I can see him having like a Stacey Coley true freshman year where there's multiple times during the season where we're all like, you know, our eyebrows are raised and we're looking around like, did you see that? You know, like,
yeah,
like, holy crap. Like, what does the future hold for this kid? You know, I think he'll have more of a season like that, where instead of, you know, maybe he's all ACC, all freshman, but I don't think he's going to be pushing like an all ACC team.
Yeah, kind of like Amon Richards did his freshman season.
Yeah, yeah, where it's just like, holy crap, like, what is he going to do as a sophomore and junior?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Avante Williams is a kid that is just so talented that if he's like one of our starting corners, or I don't know, because he's probably going to be playing out of position for a lot of this year. So maybe he's not the right choice. I definitely think that he's talented enough. You know, he's probably going to be the most talented freshman that we get in this class. So it wouldn't surprise me if he pops up somewhere and is making a name for himself. I just don't know where it is. I mean, we're loaded at safety. We kind of need help at corner, you know, or slot corner or something. And he might be filling in there. So who knows?
Good question.
Yeah, it is. All right. Dude, we've answered a lot of them, man.
We've just been going through. I know. I'm trying to scroll down. My Wi-Fi is just so bad. But there was a question regarding special teams. It's not loading right now, but I know the question. It's like, it says, who do you think will be returning kicks and punts this year?
Okay.
You go.
I don't know. You know who I'd love to see returning kicks and punts? Well, it's probably going to be Mike Carley. Mike Carley or Jalen Knighton. But I would love to see Mark Pope win that job.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Pope is very, very dangerous in the open field. I think he has ability to miss tacklers. As far as punts go, I think there's a, I want to see Jalen Knighton back there returning any type of kick, because I don't think you have to have a specific guy labeled as a punt returner or kick returner, because I mean, back in the day we would have Willis McGahee, Andre Johnson, Sean Taylor return kicks. So I'd love to see Avante Williams back there returning kicks. I'd love to see D Wiggins back there returning kicks. I think there's a lot of people that that you get the ball in their hands, I don't care what their 40 time is or anything like that, they're just dangerous. And so put Jalen Knighton back there, put D Wiggins back there, Avante Williams, Mark Pope. You know, Mike Carley has incredible speed. It's just, you got to see what these guys can do in the open field, because returning kicks and punts, you can't look at their skills necessarily as a receiver or as a defensive back. It's just, what can they do when the football is in their hands? Because that's when you really become just a pure football player. And, I think there's a plethora of options, honestly, because our team is absolutely loaded with speed. And so, yeah, maybe Keyshawn Smith, you know, who knows? And so,
yeah,
I think that's a question that there's many answers to.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's, you know, it could even be a guy that none of us thought of, just barely. So, I agree that, you know, we just have so much speed. Nothing would surprise me there, unless it's Zion Nelson.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is from Dave Levbarg. Worst case scenario, we don't have a season in the fall. How does our recruiting shape out? Does it help or hurt Miami?
I think it helps with the local kids. I think it'll absolutely help with kids like Leonard Taylor and Jason Marshall and, you know, those kind of guys. But, like, when you look at a guy like Jake Garcia, who's all the way out in Los Angeles, you know, it'll be hard to get him down to Coral Gables on a visit, things like that. And so locally, I think it'll help us. But as far as nationally goes, I think it's the opposite.
Okay. So I agree. I think it's going to help us a lot locally. I think there's a lot of reasons that we've done so well. You know, I think all the craziness going on in the country, you know, in every form, just the, I don't know, I think that has been helping us with local kids, just because everyone, I feel like there's an air of uncertainty that everyone has, even if we have different reasons, you know, for having some anxiety about the social climate right now. I think everyone has it. And, you know, I think that helps with us is kids wanting to stay close to family, stay close to where they're comfortable and, you know, what they know. But honestly, I mean, I might tend to disagree with you a little bit on the national level, because I think the more local kids that we get, the more that hype builds. And I know that this is going to contradict what I just said. But I mean, think about it. If we do land James Williams and Leonard Taylor, like, why wouldn't a guy like Jake Garcia be like, okay, why not? You know, clearly they have something going. So why not? Or, you know, or Tristan Lee or, you know, just these guys from out of state, they might be like, well, you know, clearly Miami's got something cooking right now. So I'm going to check it out as well. So it definitely helps us locally. I think there's two sides to the argument for nationally. I can see both.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think, and I forgot to mention James Williams, but yeah, and especially locally. I mean, just this recruiting staff that we've been putting together is pretty remarkable. But yeah. I don't even want to think about the possibility of not having a season. Yeah. Did you see at the White House the other day that guy on the Miami Board of Trustees was at the White House and said that the Canes are going to be playing football this year, and then he threw up the U or something like that?
I love it, man. I love to see it.
Yeah, I don't care if there's fans or not. Just please play football, please.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I'm just hyped for all of it. I'm hyped for fantasy football. I'm hyped for college football. I'm hyped for the radio show that we're gonna have. It's all gonna be fun, dude. We need sports.
Yeah. Not just the fans, but guys like you and me. We need sports.
Yep. I will probably die.
Dude, yeah, I don't know what else I'm going to do. Like, I'm not smart, so, like, I only have football. I only have sports. Like, that's my ticket.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. It's rough times right now with no sports. I just weep. Every night I weep. I watch competitive – I don't know. I'm trying to make up something. I watch competitive RC car driving, and then I weep. Yeah, right. All right, so we're you know, I got one question for you, and then I say we call it a day.
Okay.
All right, so because we like the same kind of, you know, stupid teenage boy humor comedies, I'm going to say that okay, so this is a scenario. You're going on a lake trip, whether it's like Lake Powell or Lake Tahoe, or, you know, just any fun lake like that where you're going to be with the boys, right? But your entourage of people is five actors. You get to pick them.
Wait, repeat that question.
Okay. So you're going on a lake trip, on a guy's trip, right? And the people that you're going with is five actors, and you get to pick who they are. And so I want to... But I don't want it to just be like just your favorite or just the funniest. Like, you got to take the chemistry of the situation into account, right? Like, maybe it's not a good idea to take like Seth Rogen and Adam Sandler because they kind of have different styles. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? What I'm saying is like, yeah, we're taking the vibe into account here.
Huh. That's a good question.
Yeah. You can do three if that's all you can think of, or you can do five. I just didn't want to limit you.
Can I say dead actors too?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Chris Farley.
Okay.
Younger Adam Sandler.
Okay.
Younger David Spade.
Yeah.
Just because I love those three, and they hold a very special place in my heart. what's that guy? I can't think of his name right now. He's in Knocked Up. He's the husband in Knocked Up, and he plays Kunu in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Why can't I think of his
name? Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. Yeah. Love Paul Rudd. And I think that he'd get along with those guys and would make things fun. And then
You watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall then, finally.
I did.
How was it?
It was pretty funny, I won't lie. Oh, it was pretty darn funny. I love the line when they're out there surfing and Paul Rudd was like, you know, when life gives you lemons, just say F it and F the lemons and bail.
I love that all the time. I love Kunu, man. He's hilarious.
Yeah, when he's like teaching Jason Segel like how to get up on a surfboard and goes like, ah, you know, let's just get out there and surf. The weather outside is weather.
Yeah, but you're doing too much.
You're doing too much. You got to do nothing at all.
Yeah, dude. That whole movie is so good. And how fantastic is Jonah Hill in that movie?
Oh my gosh, he's so funny. Just, yeah. I just want you to take a look at my demo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's.
I actually love Russell Brand too. I know he's kind of an acquired taste, but I think Russell Brand is completely brilliant. I devour. Is like interviews with him. I think he's a highly intelligent person,
very very smart,
and I find him hilarious. So I'm a big Russell Brand guy as well.
And just the funniest moments in that movie, in my opinion, are just like when it goes to a clip of Jason Segel crying.
yeah, dude. And dude, the most realistic line of all time. I mean, for anyone who's ever been through a breakup that was difficult. Is when he's talking about his cereal containers. Like, Sarah bought me these so my cereal would stay fresh, and now I have the freshest cereal. He like starts sobbing. I'm like, dude, that right there captures a bad breakup better than anything in the world.
Or when like they just break up and he's like in a towel and he goes like, yeah. And he's just like, just give me a minute. And he goes back to the kitchen and he's naked and you just hear,
yeah,
just starts whimpering.
Oh my gosh. I love that movie. I'll have to watch it like every 3 months.
It's pretty funny. I'd give it like a B+.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, man, I love it. It's at least an A- for me. I really love that movie.
Jason Segel is very very funny, and Mila Kunis is so hot.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
She's beautiful.
Yes.
And is. I'm not a fan of that other girl. I don't like. She doesn't do it for me.
Kristen Bell, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
I'm with you, man. She kind of has the, what's it called, like the, shoot, like a pep squad vibe, you know?
Just... Yeah, she kind of looks like she could go to BYU. She kind of looks like she could be a Cougarette.
Yep.
and for those who don't know, Cougarettes are the cheerleaders or the dancers. And so, she kind of gives up the vibe like she could be born and raised in Provo. She kind of, you know, maybe like a bitch, you know? No offense, she said she's a very nice girl. I think she's very pretty, but she kind of gives off that vibe that I think only us Utah people can really appreciate. But Mila Kunis, I would swim to Hawaii just to go on a date with her.
The Kristen Bell vibe, we're talking like she's so intensely happy that it's almost violent. that is a very Utah That's vibe.
Perfect. That yeah. is perfect. Yeah. That movie is just, that cast is so great.
It is.
Okay, wait. Before I forget, Dirty Bird asked me a question. Dirty Bird's our guy. He says, who do you feel is the most important player to not get injured? In other words, who would be hardest to replace if they were to go down for an extended period of time?
Probably De'Aaron King, man. I mean, yeah. I don't want to say it just because he's the quarterback, you know, but like I just said, you know, I feel like our quarterback room is very unstable besides De'Aaron King. Yeah.
I would say him or maybe Al Blades Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Or Zach McLeod, even.
Yeah.
If Zach McLeod goes down, and, like, we have, like, a bunch of either, like, true freshmen or other guys at linebacker, I think we could be in trouble. But, yeah, that's my answer. But I wanted to get back to your question about the actors. I want to ask who you would take.
Well, so I interrupted you, I think, before you got the fifth. So you have the Spade, Sandler, and Farley, and then you had Paul Rudd, and then who was the last guy?
I'm going to say Chris Rock.
Okay.
I wanted to say, like, Seth Rogen and those guys, but, like, Seth Rogen, I just feel like if you took him to a lake, like, all they would want to do is, like, take shrooms and just trip.
Yeah.
The whole time. But I feel like Farley would be like, I feel like we would do fun things. And I just feel they're like more, I love Seth Rogen. Everyone knows I'm a huge Seth Rogen fan, but I feel like, I fit in more with like the Farley group. They have a little bit more frat boy persona to them. And that's kind of my humor and that's my personality. And so, yeah, I would put in like, Chris Rock, I think is severely underrated. I think he is so funny.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, man. And yeah, I wouldn't definitely not fit in with like Seth Rogen and what's his name? James Franco.
Mm-hmm.
However,
he's too smart for me.
yeah, and you know, I feel like those guys are like potheads, and that's not really my vibe. And you know, like I agree with you. I feel like if you went to a lake with them, it would mostly be about substance use, and you know, that's not exactly what I'm looking for on a guy's trip. I'd have to go with Jonah Hill. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, I may have to throw Jonah Hill in there.
Jonah Hill is
one of the biggest Jonah Hill fanboys out there.
Oh, dude, same. So I'm going with Jonah Hill one, and I'm actually going with Dave Franco number two.
Ooh.
I'm a big Dave Franco guy as well.
I think him in Neighbors, he is really funny.
Yeah. I would take Dave Franco way over James Franco, in my opinion. I think he's funnier. I definitely think that I'd get along better with him. Let's see. You know, I'd probably throw in Miles Teller there as well. I like Miles Teller.
Wait, who's he?
So he's in War Dogs. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't. I have not seen it yet.
Have you seen Project X?
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. Curly hair.
Yeah, yeah. He's the kid. He plays himself in Project X, and they like see him at the grocery store and get him to come
like
to the park.
He's like a college baseball player or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like he'd fit in good with that crew. And then let's see, who else are we going with? Dude, you know who I'd love to have on this list, but wouldn't really fit is Rob Riggle.
Oh, he is so funny.
Actually, you know what? I mean, dude, I don't know. I could go so many different ways. At heart, I am, you know, I'm like a basketball nerd, right? And growing up, I used to make these different NBA teams based on like my perception of chemistry, right?
Yeah.
So I'd have all these different teams of like, you know, I'm like, this is my shooting and defense team, you know, is like this group, and then this group is for other stuff, you know, so honestly, I could feel good to just scrap that last team I said and just have like Rob Riggle, Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, and, you know, just like roll with those guys for a weekend too. That'd be
great. Dude, I would love. Oh, and you know what? Who I'm forgetting is freaking Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Oh.
Vaughn's fantastic.
Vaughn, like if you knew my dad, Vince Vaughn and my dad were like the complete same person.
Yeah.
And so like, oh, just that style of humor is like.
Yeah.
Dude, I could go so many ways with this question. Rob Riggle, not only do I respect the hell out of him because he served in the United States Marines, but, oh, he is so damn funny.
Yes.
Just absolutely. Like, oh, I can never get – when he, like, pow! Like,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
He's funny in everything. He's, no matter what he's in, he's always the funniest guy.
Yeah. And just like his, like, ugh.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to do a complete 180 on this. Scrap the last part. I'm going Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, Rob Riggle. We're going to throw in, shoot, I just had it. What was it? Oh, gosh, I can't believe I forgot now. I'm going to have to edit this out. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There it is. Well, that was lame. I just forgot.
I loved this. I loved this episode, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but dude, Rob Riggle in every single thing that he's ever been in is just hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great guy.
Oh,
I would love to just hang out with him.
Throw in Jeremy Piven in there. I think he'd fit in with that crew.
Really, just the entire cast of Old School.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Can we switch Owen and Luke Wilson or just invite Owen along just because he's a brother?
Invite them both because I think Owen is funny too. Like in Wedding, I think Wedding Crashers is top five funniest movies I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Like my favorite scene, and I know we're taking time, but I don't give a damn. Like when they're like at the staircase at the house and they're talking about the mom and Owen Wilson's like, yeah, Claire's mom just made me feel her hooters. And Vince Vaughn goes like, well, snap out of it. What, a hot older woman made you feel her cans? Stop crying like a little girl. And I was like, I'm not crying like a little girl. Why don't you try getting jacked off in front of the whole damn family and have some real problems, jackass? What were they like anyway? Did you feel them? They look pretty good. Are they real? What'd you do with them? You play the motorboat? You motorboat son of a bitch. You old sailor, you.
Yep. Are they built for speed or comfort?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. That is a fantastic film.
It's amazing. I remember I watched that with my I was up in my grandparents' cabin, and my father, he said, son, I have a movie for you to watch. I think you're old enough. I was about 12. And and we watched it in secrecy. And we just laughed so hard. And when Will Ferrell came into that movie, it's one of the greatest comedy scenes of all time. When he walks down the stairs, what the F do you want?
Well, hold on. So if you have time, I certainly do, because I'm loving this.
Hell yeah, I have time.
Okay, so I know that I posed you a question and then I kind of went off and didn't even fully answer it. But what if we do this? What if we make a list of, you know, a handful of guys that we think are the most underappreciated guys?
Okay.
In this realm of funny actors, like, don't get enough love. They don't get enough starring roles. You know, kind of the Rob Riggle type. I mean, he'd definitely be on my list at number one.
I'd put Jeremy Piven up there.
Yes, I agree. I mean, did you end up watching Rush Hour 2?
Not yet. It's on my list though. I might watch it tonight.
You definitely should, or at least like look up the scene with him in it, because. I mean, he shows that there's more than just the Ari Gold vibe, you know, because I mean, in that scene, he plays a, you know, he's probably supposed to be playing a gay man. Like, it doesn't say that he's gay. But, yeah. You know, that's the vibe they're going for. Right. And oh, my gosh, just absolutely hilarious, man.
Yeah, he deserves like his own movie.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree on there. He actually did have like a B movie called The Goods, which it's like Sell Hard, I think it was called, like The Goods Sell Hard or something. It's a very stupid movie, but it has a lot of good laughs. It actually has Rob Riggle and Will Ferrell in it too. So
okay. Who else I would put on that list? I'd love to see Jason Segel. I don't know what happened to him. Yeah, I agree. But I feel like he hasn't been in very many movies lately.
Yeah. You know who's one that I just thought of is Sean William Scott.
Oh, he's funny.
I really like him, dude. He's funny.
Yeah,
he's great in
What's the movie with him and Paul Rudd where they do the LARPing?
Oh, it's like they have to watch over kids or something like that.
Role Models.
Yep, Role Models. That's a very, very funny movie. I just had him. What the hell is his name? Paul Rudd. I think Paul Rudd is one of the most underappreciated. I think he is hilarious.
Oh, he is. And he has a lot of range too.
Yeah.
You know, he's good as the straight man, but he's also good as Kunu, you know?
Yeah. Oh, he's so funny.
Yeah, he is. He really is. Who's another guy? I don't know. We could go on for hours, I'm sure.
We probably could.
Yeah, I would love to see more Dave Franco, dude. He's there's a movie with him and Vince Vaughn called Unfinished Business.
I've heard of that. I have not seen it.
Oh, dude, it's another one. I kind of have a thing for like the not blockbuster movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of these funny movies like Pineapple Express, you know, like everyone loves them and they have a huge following and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's probably part of the reason why I decided to be a Hurricanes fan out here in Utah is I tend to go for things that I feel require like a deeper look. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I respect that.
You know, and so that's why I tend to gravitate towards movies like The Goods that I just told you about or Unfinished Business, where it's like not, you know, people wouldn't say it's one of Vince Vaughn's best movies, even though it's arguably my favorite Vince Vaughn movie. Just because it has like a cool personality of its own, you know, and not everyone just like repeats the same five quotes in your ear about it, you know. But oh yeah, that's Vince Vaughn and Dave Franco, and dude, they are funny together, man. It's very, very good.
I'm very happy that we have like we enjoy the same movies.
Yeah, I agree, man. We need to we need to have a big party this year for a Hurricanes game, and just have it turn into like movies, and then Entourage at halftime.
Yep.
And then you know, or something. I don't know. But I agree with you. We need to, dude. Maybe we could do something where we're like live streaming us watching funny videos or funny movies like that, and then giving commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Martian Jordan cut where we give like director's commentary.
Yeah, and we could have Brad Kaya too.
Yes. You know, it's yeah, that would be fantastic because we are cinephiles just like him, right? We are just as esteemed and qualified as he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Not our really.
Our boy.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we need to get Brad on again. I love Brad.
Yeah. I just want to hang out with Brad.
Me too, honestly. Don't tell him I said that, but yeah.
Oh, God.
All right. We need to go.
Okay. Great episode. Loved every second of it.
Me too, man. Hope you're having a good day.
Absolutely. Oh, you too, man. But yeah, we will be back on Friday, hopefully with a big guest. But yeah, anything else you want to add?
No, man. Just go Canes.
Go Canes, baby.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to love.